Welcome to Artistry Avenue, a Reclaiming Our Time podcast, where we examine the intersection between theater and social issues. My name is Natasha Jackson, and I'm the Executive Director of Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
And I am J. Marjorie Henderson. I am the Artistic Director for Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
You're the Artistic Director for who?
Reclaiming Our Time Productions. That's what I said, right?
That's what you
okay.
said.
Okay, let me say, I got so much else going on, I don't tell her who I am today.
I love it. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there.
Yeah.
Why is this podcast so important?
This podcast is important because I think what it symbolizes is important. It symbolizes, like you said, we're there's an intersectionality between theater and social issues. We can't have, theater is the mirror to society. And I think a lot of times we don't think about, you know, just how important that is or where that cross-sectionality comes from. Because a lot of people say, because I know as a theater major, they're like, why would you do that? You're not going to get a job. And they were right. they are, but I think people don't, we don't value the theater as much as it should be. I think it's more than just for entertainment. You learn, and as a theater major and theater graduate, you learn so much more about life, the psychology of life, the collaboration that it takes, the teamwork that it takes, all the intersectionalities of, and then theater is a reflection of the society at the times. I mean, if you look at plays, they are the voice of the time for most people, especially for us, BIPOC, or mm-hmm. in this instance, Black audience. And look at the August Wilson cycle of plays. Like, they are the voice for that time. So, and that's a very long answer to that
it
question.
It really was, but
okay.
Ahead.
Well, because it's important, Natasha. It's important. I feel it's important, mm-hmm. and I'm sure somebody else will too.
Yeah. I was thinking about the social issues aspect of it. I don't have the traditional theater education. Mine has literally just been being in theater for so many years, and mm-hmm. what I have experienced, what I've seen, the different productions, working with people as a stage manager, assistant stage manager, intimacy director, etc. And there are times where we see some of these productions that actually do hit home for people, that trigger people, as well as open people's eyes. But then there's also the behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's one of those sometimes taboo subjects.
For sure.
That we don't touch on. And so I think that's something that with this podcast, we can open people's eyes, but also, I don't want to say normalize, but also let people know they're not alone.
For sure.
And in some for of sure. their experiences that they have had within theater.
And that's for both the audience and the artists.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times people look at artists and actors or people in front of the camera as like jesters. You're here just for my entertainment, but you're also a human outside of this. You're experiencing.
Right.
You have to experience life through this other person on stage in front of people and be vulnerable.
Very.
And be open. And that's not an easy task.
Very. Which is why I don't get to say that. That's why I can't be on stage.
You can.
I can't.
You can. Because you are able to identify with your mental health background. I don't know if you haven't talked about it yet, but with your mental health background, you can identify with people. And that's, to me, that's what acting is. It's the identification, personification, if you want to go there. It's the identification of knowing what people, being in someone else's shoes and experiencing what they experience through this three-act piece.
Three-act, that's long.
That's a long, I mean, have you seen Hamlet?
Right.
Have you read Hamlet? These things are not, they ain't short.
Yeah, this is true.
Okay, we'll talk more about other shows that we've done, but woo-cha. Yeah.
But I can say from behind the scenes, mm-hmm. there's so much that we deal with. As stage managers, assistant stage managers, as you all prepare to be on stage and work with your colleagues and what have you, and all of those technical aspects, there's also that thing where I have to make sure actors are okay.
Oh yeah.
And for me, identify when, oh, this person's been triggered. They need some additional support and those types of things. So I think those, that's, you know, all of those things do connect. You know, if they have a bad day at work and they come into the theater and they have to transition into this character and you start to notice them snapping at actors doing downtime, there's something more there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And you're able to identify that.
Yes. Again, yes. There have been plenty of times where I've just been sitting in the back knowing I need to reach out to somebody. Right. Whether it is after rehearsal the next day, I need to pull them aside because I could see there's something triggered them. They're upset about something.
Right. And that's so important to have because as an actor on stage, I'm not aware of that. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking to respond to what your character is saying to my character. But to have someone that's in the room that's actively paying attention to what that actor's going through.
Yeah.
And seeing where, you know, this needs to be addressed or this needs to, you know, happen off stage. Because we've exchanged stories between us, but I'm like, I had no idea that was going on because I was there to do my work.
Right.
And, you know, not to be, you know, selfish or, you know, self-centered, but it's like, I wasn't paying attention to that because I was paying more attention to me.
Right.
Right. Right. So, yeah, yeah. But to have that in the room is very much important.
And that's something I think we're seeing more talked about and slowly implemented in theater. And I'm going to be that person and pull that plug in there and talk, you know, about the liaison board role that we created at North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater that, you know, along with Timothy Locklear that, you know, I said, hey, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I know from my mental health background. And so we've created that supportive role because there's a whole lot of things that go on. It's not just being on stage or being behind the scenes. Actors and production team members, people getting along, people not getting along, people treating people a certain way. It's a whole big thing.
Right.
And now that we're starting the past 10 years or so to normalize mental health and mental health issues and be more accepting, we're finding out a whole lot more.
And I think that's a reflection of the world in and of itself, because with the pandemic, we realized just how important mental health was and how fragile it can be.
Yeah.
And so, that's a sign that theater is a reflection of what society is, because we're paying more attention to people's psyche.
Yes.
Outside of theater, outside of work, just going through life and existing. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're implementing that by bridging that gap into theater, that it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And I've heard a lot of people talk about how therapeutic theater is for them. Mm-hmm. And so when you have mess going on, it can trigger them. And there have been plenty of people that have walked away from theater because of things that they have encountered and didn't have the support or what have you. Right. So I think that's where the liaison role, having the tough conversations, really do come into play.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So looking at this from, dare I say, a BIPOC person, does that bring in a whole different element to consider?
I mean, we have a colleague who calls us rising identities instead of marginalized. But that alone, that label alone shows how separate we are from the mainstream. So that's a whole other level of I don't want to say oppression, but there's a whole level, another level of like stuff just on top of you. You come into the room with that.
It's heavy.
And we try to create safe spaces among ourselves, but sometimes the oppressed becomes the oppressor.
What?
And that's...
Say it again.
The oppressed becomes the oppressor.
Yes.
And it's that whole crabs in a barrel thing you know, put it in maybe layman's terms. But yeah, so we try to create those spaces amongst ourselves wherein we feel safety within us because we need those spaces. And people are always saying, why segregate yourselves?
Right.
Because this is who we are. It's not so much of a label as it is a culture.
Yes.
And we have to understand the culture of ourselves. And sometimes we don't get that from other people who don't share the same pigment or same hue or same story as we do.
Right.
So did I answer the question? Because I feel like I'm going off topic. I know. I got real preachy and right there.
And we don't went all the way there.
I got real. This is the introduction podcast, right?
We're introducing.
We're going deep. Jeez.
But you know what? This is what we do. So, but also, this is an example of some of the conversations that Rec Time will be having.
For sure.
You know, for those who don't know, Reclaiming Our Time, our nickname is Rec Time. Do you know how we got that name?
No.
Okay, I was just saying, okay. So... I just wanted to ask, but you know,
I think there were other nicknames that were kind of thrown out there that we were like, that's not gonna work. So right. We kind of settled on
Rec Time.
Rec Time. Because Rec Time, when you hear Rec Time, it's like going out to play, recreation,
right.
Or recess. So okay. I mean, we're playing together. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. I just made that up.
I just made that up.
Okay, so back to this introduction in the other six or nine. They're going to be like, can't leave them too.
We get the other people here.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Beautifully horrible.
Yes. There's a lot of editing going on.
Oh, jeez.
So one of the other things, though, I wanted to talk about with this podcast and in this introduction of this podcast is that it gives an opportunity for those who are not a part of the rising
identity
to hear what we experience, to hear our stories, but to ask questions and not be judged for asking questions. Because I do feel like there are some who really don't understand, who don't know, but are afraid to ask. And I think that this could be a platform where they can ask, you know, they can email us and we can address these questions. Or have lives or whatever it's going to be.
For sure.
To provide insight into what it's like for us. And maybe, and we're not looking for empathy or sympathy or anything of that nature. We're trying to inform and make people aware.
For sure.
And when you say this or when you use this tone, this is why I respond this way.
I think a lot of it is it's insensitivity, and that's bred from ignorance.
Yes, yes.
And so ignorance is not, it's not the inability to learn. It's that you haven't learned yet.
You haven't learned. Well, there are some that are not even willing.
So that's a whole other thing. That's willful ignorance. Yes. That's a whole other thing.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
But people, again, it's a culture thing. So you come to me a certain way, I'm going to respond in this way because culturally, this is how I react to that.
Right.
Right. So, and I think people who are open to hear those responses, or open to hear why that is, it's going to bridge a gap.
Yeah. I think we're going to make some people uncomfortable.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine because growth comes from uncomfortability.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because not to be too... Hormones. Like, when you're growing, sometimes that can hurt. Right? You can be uncomfortable. I know your face is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
right
I'm
now?
Like, where are we going but with I'm the saying,
that's what I said. That's why that was that pause was for. But I'm saying, as you grow up, things become uncomfortable.
Right.
Right. So it's part of the growing process, I think.
Yeah. I think uncomfortable, we might anger a few people. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
You don't know about that?
Because anger can lead to other things that may not be as positive, but anger could also lead to learning.
Growth.
Right.
Growth. Why did that anger you?
Right.
You know, did you respond, or why did you send that nasty email, or...
What is it about me myself that had such a reaction?
So maybe we can encourage people to do some self-inventory.
Self-reflection is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, if we can promote that, you know, in that if there's anger, because I'm sure we're going to make somebody mad. Somebody's not going to like what we talk about or how we state something.
If you go into anything thinking that you're going to please everybody, you're just doing yourself a disservice.
Exactly.
So it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And I think the biggest thing, or one of the biggest things for me, is that we're gonna be able to motivate people.
For sure.
I think we're gonna be able to motivate people, educate people,
right,
so that they can, you know, self-inventory, see that any and all things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, see where they us need to change and grow, how to go to the next level.
For sure.
So
we're gonna provide sanctuary too. for stories. Mm-hmm. People yes. can feel free enough to mm-hmm. let their stories sit amongst us.
Right, right.
And it'd be okay.
And I'm sure people are sitting on experiences that they have not told anyone. And, you know, they can say, hey, I want to keep this anonymous, but I need to tell this story.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And I think it'll also be interesting with having such a diverse group of personalities.
That's for sure. That's for sure. With all differing levels mm-hmm, of theater mm-hmm. experience and life experience, mm-hmm. Right? Because we differ in ages as well. So, right, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. just very different experiences overall mm-hmm. that we can bring to the table and be like, hey, this is what I experienced.
Right.
How does this mm-hmm. shape who we are?
Yes. Yes. So you say that, and I think it's always key. We have in our one of our presentations, and we talk about collectively amongst the eight of us, we have over 175 years of theater experience.
That is so hard to hear. Of course, I'm on the near the bottom of that 175, but it's still hard to hear because we've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Collectively.
Yeah. So when you think about the different experiences that we have, I think that'll just really bring wisdom.
For sure.
Wisdom to the table as well.
Sage advice.
There we yes.
Come on, Sage.
Yes, yes exactly.
Got to bring some sage up in here and just like. Well,
we're going to do.
Excuse me, Jesus.
I was going to say, we're going to stick with prayer. So, we want to invite people that want to share their stories or maybe give feedback or what have you on some of the things that we discuss to, you know, just kind of email, share, what have you. And they can do that at reclaimingourtimethepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, for sure.
And they can. You know, say anonymously, they don't have to have their names on there. And, you know, down the road, we'll hopefully be able to address certain issues and get just feedback from different variations of us. The podcast is not going to always be all eight of us. It might be, you know, Josh and I are here doing the introduction. Or should I say Jay Madrice? Which one?
Just don't call me late to dinner. That's what I say.
Right. No, that's right.
I was born Joshua, but Jay Madrice is my stage name. So either or is fine.
Okay. Some people get confused sometimes. So I'm talking, I'll say Josh, and they don't know who Josh is. But they know who Jay. They know who Jay Madrice is.
I haven't been. Well, I've been Joshua Madrice all my life. But people are like, "Who is Josh?" I'm like, "How do you not know that's my name?" But I'm like, maybe my name actually has weight as Jay Madrice. And I was like, "That's weird."
I was going to say you are creating a brand with Jay Madrice,
and that's amazing. That's scary. Thing. We can talk about that too.
Yeah, no, I think that's an amazing thing, and maybe some of our younger people can, you know, kind of take some nuggets from that to see what they need to do. You are well respected in the community, so
jeez, child,
just take, embrace it.
Give me something to eat, and right.
Anyway. So anyway, if you want us to maybe talk about any subjects or you want to give feedback, you can reach us at claimingourtimethepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And future podcasts will be coming and different variations of Reclaiming Our Time members will be here. Thank you for listening.
There you go. We did good, girl.
Did we?
We did good. We did it.
Okay, we did something.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Artistry Avenue, the intersection of theater and social issues. Artistry Avenue is a Reclaiming Our Time production. To learn more about Reclaiming Our Time, visit www.reclaimingourtime.org. That's reclaimingourtime.org. If you would like to share your stories or give us feedback, you can email us at reclaimingourtimethepodcast@gmail.com or call us at 984-401-0616. We look forward to hearing from you. Our inaugural theater production, Native, written by Ian Finley, runs September 13th through the 22nd, 2024, at the North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tickets are now available for purchase at www.reclaimingourtime.org/current.